This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Barry gets downgraded. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka. It is Monday, July 15. Thanks for being with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
The first hurricane of the season has been downgraded to a tropical depression, but Barry remains a flooding threat in the Mississippi Valley.
Illegal immigrants and their advocates, who were bracing for raids by Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents, saw only small-scale operations.
The shopping frenzy known as Amazon Prime Day is underway. We'll identify the most common mistakes made by bargain hunters.
And the newcomers to streaming services that are spending up to $15 million per episode on their programs.
Everyone can tell you how crowded the market is getting and is going to get for streaming entertainment. You've got a ton of new services coming online.
Wall Street Journal reporter Eric Schwartzel on the likes of Disney and Apple spending as much on streaming programs as movie studios spend on big budget films. President Trump may be trying to add fuel to the fire that's simmering within the Democratic Party. He yesterday tweeted that a group of four progressives in a power struggle with House Speaker Nancy Pelosi came from corrupt and broken countries and should go back to fix those countries. Reaction from the presidential campaign trail with California Senator Kamala Harris.
It is absolutely racist and un-American. And it is an old trope, go back to where you came from, that, you know, you might hear it on the street, but you should never hear that from the President of the United States.
On Sunday evening, Mr. Trump criticized Democrats for defending the lawmakers that he had targeted earlier in the day. He wrote, quote, "So sad to see the Democrats sticking up for people who speak so badly of our country, and whenever confronted, they called their adversaries racist." On Friday, by the way, enough Democrats joined with Republicans to block an amendment from New York freshman Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. The Wall Street Journal says after it failed, members said the result was in part because of how she had treated her colleagues. Engineers are trying to figure out why a large portion of New York City lost power on Saturday evening. The massive outage affected 42 blocks of Manhattan, including Times Square. The focus of the investigation by Consolidated Edison was a large transmission substation in Midtown Manhattan. Con Ed President Timothy Cawley said engineers would need at least several days to determine the cause.
We at Con Edison sincerely regret the power disruption and the impact it had on the lives and businesses of the people of this great city.
Mr. Cawley ruled out a cyber or terrorist attack. He also said the level of demand on the power grid was not a factor. The loss of power interrupted Broadway shows, traffic signals, and some 400 elevators that were in use. Power went out about 6:45 p.m. Saturday, with pedestrians, bicyclists, and cars struggling to navigate traffic. Two subway trains carrying about 2,800 passengers needed flashlight assistance from police to reach the streets. Power was fully restored by midnight. The Gulf Storm Barry has been downgraded to a tropical depression after inching across Louisiana. The National Hurricane Service, or rather National Hurricane Center, says the system was moving slower than somebody riding a bicycle. Before it made landfall Saturday, millions of people were under the threat of epic flooding because of rains earlier last week. Barry is forecast to produce an additional 3 to 6 inches of rain from the lower Mississippi River Valley through portions of Arkansas, West Tennessee, and Northwest Mississippi. Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards.
Altogether, with search and rescue across the state of Louisiana, 93 individuals were saved from 11 parishes.
Some areas in the region could see storm totals upward of 15 inches by the time the remnants of Barry push into the Ohio Valley by midweek. Also, CNN says heavy rains and tornadoes are possible from the Gulf Coast through the mid-Mississippi River Valley through today. State offices in three Louisiana parishes are closed today because of power outages. It's 11 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Patty Poppes, president and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
All of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Monday, the latest presidential sweepstakes entrant. Financier Tom Steyer is so wealthy, he's willing to spend $100 million of his own money on a presidential campaign. Mr. Steyer is a former hedge fund manager who's worth better than $3 billion, about the same as President Trump. Do you have to be filthy rich to run? Seems like it. Here's Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. Rick, how do you see it?
I guess, but, you know, we have a few of these candidates have characterized themselves as, you know, just regular guys, and they're not regular guys anymore. So I'm thinking specifically of Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders. Joe Biden, after he left government in 2017, at the beginning of 2017, when the Obama administration came into power, he gave some speeches. He wrote a book. He made a lot of money in book royalties. And between him and his wife, they made $15.5 million in 2017 and 2018. And just to put that in perspective, in 2016, when Biden was still vice president, the two Bidens together made less than $400,000. And then even Bernie Sanders, I mean, we saw when he released his tax returns a couple of months ago, he made more than $1 million in 2017, and he made around, I think, $550,000 in 2018. That makes Bernie Sanders was a 1%er in 2017, and he was a 5%er in 2018.
So on the other end of the spectrum, among these very, very wealthy presidential candidates, though, is Pete Buttigieg, the mayor of South Bend, Indiana. How does he manage to do it?
Yeah, of the top five candidates in the polls, Pete Buttigieg is the only guy you can call unrich. His tax return, and he files as married with his husband, Chasen, they show less than $200,000 in household income for 2018. And he also says that between the two of them, they have $130,000 in student debt. That's mostly because Chasen is a teacher who had to get a master's degree, and he's paying off those loans. So among the top five candidates on the Democratic side, Pete Buttigieg comes closest to being an ordinary guy.
We're speaking with Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance, about his piece entitled "Everybody Running for President is Rich." And the thing about, Mr. Buttigieg, which is obvious, if his funds get low, he cannot reach into his own wallet like others can to prop up a campaign.
No, he absolutely cannot. But I would venture to say that Joe Biden is not about to reach into his own pocket to fund his campaign either, because even if he made $15 million during the last 2 years, that's nothing for a presidential campaign. I mean, these campaigns just burn through cash. You can easily spend in the tens of millions or hundreds of million dollars on a presidential campaign, which brings us to Tom Steyer, the latest Democrat to run. And, you know, just when you thought it was safe to not have to learn anything about any new Democratic candidates, well, here comes another one. Tom Steyer is a former hedge fund investor. His net worth is around $3 billion, according to Bloomberg, and he's now running. He can self-fund. He said he's willing to spend $100 million of his own money, which is what Trump said in 2015. So in a way, he's following the Trump model, even though one of his main campaigning points is we need to impeach Trump.
Boy, when you consider all the money that it takes, is there a better way to get maybe more ordinary folks who might want to take a shot at this?
It does make you cynical. And I'm trying to think, you know, but it's not the case that the candidate with the most money always wins, though. And this is true if you look at, House and Senate races. What money mostly buys is advertising, and it buys campaign organizations. So it allows you to pay for campaign offices and campaign staffers, you know, in every county and every state that matters, for example. And that does matter, but when you think about advertising, I mean, I think political advertising only goes so far. And, you know, when you keep running the same ad day after day after day in the same market, sure, it may produce kind of a muscle memory that people know, you know, who the candidates are, but I'm not sure that always sways people's votes.
Thanks, Rick. Rick Newman, senior columnist at Yahoo Finance. This portion of the program is brought to you by Legacy Box. I got to tell you, the experience that my family and I are having with Legacy Box is priceless. It's a lot of fun to gather the old VHS tapes and photos of great memories, then have them turned into modern keepsakes. Legacy Box is helping us better preserve family films and photos from degrading and being lost forever. That gives me peace of mind, and it allows us to keep and share past moments for generations. Plus, it's simple. All you do is send your Legacy Box, filled with old home movies and photos, and they'll do the rest according to how you label them, including professionally digitizing your moments onto a thumb drive, a digital download, even DVDs. There's never been a better time to digitally preserve your memories. Visit LegacyBox.com today to get started. Plus, for a limited time, they're offering our listeners an exclusive discount. Go to LegacyBox.com/Gordon to get 40% off your first order. LegacyBox.com/Gordon and save 40% today. I've used them before with great success, and I'm doing it again now as part of this campaign. Get started preserving your past. LegacyBox.com/Gordon to get 40% off your first order. It's 20 minutes after the hour on this morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Gordon, even though Tropical Depression Barry did not unleash catastrophic flooding in Louisiana, many across the Gulf Coast were urged to take heed of tornado and flash flood warnings as the storm moves north. Barry was downgraded from a tropical storm yesterday afternoon, but continues to pose a threat. Louisiana Governor John Bel Edwards urged residents to be cautious as they ventured outside after a weekend in which many had sheltered indoors.
And right now, we are still very much in the response mode, not the recovery mode.
Much of Louisiana and Mississippi are under flash flood watches, as are parts of Arkansas, Texas, Tennessee, and Missouri. Injecting race into his criticism of liberal Democrats, President Trump says four congresswomen of color should go back to the broken and crime-infested countries they came from, ignoring the fact that all of the women are U.S. citizens and three were born in the U.S. His attack is drawing a condemnation from Democrats for being racist and divisive, Congressman Tim Ryan of Ohio.
I just want to say how disgusted I am and appalled as an American citizen, not as a candidate for president, not as a congressman of 17 years, but as an American citizen, I am freaking appalled that the president of the United States conducts himself in such a disgraceful and racist way.
Following a familiar script, Republicans remain largely silent after Trump's Sunday morning broadsides against the four women. Engineers are examining power equipment to root out the cause of a massive outage that plunged parts of Manhattan into darkness Saturday night. The focus of Con Ed's investigation is a large transmission substation in Midtown, which became de-energized before the blackout. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says the loss of power, which interrupted Broadway shows, knocked out traffic signals, disrupted subway service, installed elevators, could have caused real chaos.
I applaud all New Yorkers. When things are at their worst, New Yorkers are at their best.
The utility has ruled out a cyber or terrorist attack as the cause. For the second straight weekend, Spider-Man Far From Home is the nation's top movie. Spider-Man took in another $45 million, bringing its total domestic haul so far to $274.5 million. Finishing second, Toy Story 4, followed by Crawl, Stuber, and Yesterday.
I spent 5 hours yesterday watching tennis. I was not budgeting
that's almost like 2.5 movies for you.
That's right. It's way too much time. It was great tennis, but it was more time than I normally spend. Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. It's a prime time to score deals, but only if you're savvy about it. Amazon Prime Day began today and goes for the next 48 hours. It's one of the biggest shopping days of the year. Amazon says it will launch more than 1 million deals across 18 countries with new deals dropping hourly. Tips on how to save on top of your saving from Katie Hill, editor at MarketWatch. Katie, what do you have?
So I found a few little kind of hidden hacks for getting free money to use on Amazon Prime Day. So the first thing, the Amazon Assistant, which is basically like a price alert tool that Amazon offers, you can get a $10 credit. Which you can spend on Amazon Prime Day whenever, if you sign up for the Amazon Assistant service. You have to have not, this is not for people who have already used it, but if you haven't used the Amazon Assistant in the last year, you can sign up for it again, and they'll give you a $10 credit. So, if you want price alerts, you want to sign up for this anyway, it might be a good way to get that $10 credit.
All right. The clever thing, too, is to, not that Amazon would encourage this, but you would join Amazon Prime, say, sometime right during the Amazon Prime 48-hour window, and then if you don't like it, cancel it just to take advantage of the deals.
Right. That's the other thing, right? So all this is Amazon Prime Day is for Prime members. They are offering a 30-day free trial right now, which is free if you cancel before the 30 days are up. Otherwise, it's $119 a year or $59 a year if you're a student. But yeah, all these deals, you got to sign up for Prime first and foremost. Yep.
Should sign up my son. He's a student, and then we just buy stuff through him.
Doesn't hurt to
take advantage,
as
right?
As long as he has a .edu address, I believe, that will get him the $59 a year.
They're like, wow, this kid certainly needs a lot of cleaning supplies for somebody who's 17, right?
And you know what? Those are going to be a good deal on Amazon Prime Day because they're offering 30% off their they have a in-house brand on Amazon that offers like household products. So not a bad idea.
Very good. We're speaking with Katie Hill, editor at MarketWatch, about her piece entitled, "This is the Secret to Scoring Free Money to Spend on Amazon Prime Day." So separately here, you reference sites like Ebates and Swagbucks. Can you incorporate them into Amazon Prime Day?
Yeah, and I think that's actually quite smart. You can get cash back on these things, too. So you get a deal, and then you get cash back. Ebates, Swagbucks. Right now, I think Swagbucks is offering 5% cash back on purchases of Amazon. So you can sign up for those sites, Ebates and Swagbucks, for free, use them, shop through Amazon, and get cash back, too. So you can get a really good deal plus get cash back. You're really layering on the discounts. I mean, again, what happens here, you know, these lightning deals, people think, I got to buy it right now, you know. You really got to take a moment to just price check it and make sure it's a good deal before you start clicking on it. But you really can find some deals.
I thought, too, it's an interesting point because you can get so caught up in this, right? You got to compare because just because it's on Amazon doesn't mean it's even on Prime Day doesn't mean it's the best deal around.
1,000%. Right. And you know what's interesting? Like, they're aggressively, Walmart, Target, eBay, they are aggressively going after this Prime Day, right? So you're going to find discounts everywhere.
Katie Hill at MarketWatch. By the way, CoreSite Research predicts Amazon could generate $5.8 billion in global sales. 30 minutes after the hour, on This Morning, America's First News.
You make a million tough business decisions every day. So here's the easiest one of the year. Dell's Cyber Monday in July is back and bigger than ever. Get no-brainer deals on the very latest computers with Intel Core processors and a huge selection of servers, electronics, and more. All with free shipping on everything. To make your decision even easier, Dell's small business technology advisors can help you find just the right tech. Call 877-BUY-DELL. That's an easy call to make at 877-BUY-DELL or visit dell.com/smallbusiness.
Supported by Kronos. Kronos knows that hiring and retaining a modern workforce of salaried, hourly, full and part-time workers can be challenging, especially in today's competitive job market. That's why Kronos puts HR, payroll, talent, and time in one place, so HR professionals supporting a blended workforce have all the tools they need to engage and motivate their people every step of the way. Learn more at kronos.com/HR swagger. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us on this Monday, July 15. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Tropical Depression Barry remains a flooding threat through midweek. There doesn't appear to have been large-scale immigration raids over the weekend, as predicted. Wall Street Journal says the Boeing 737 MAX jet could be grounded into next year. Report says the FTC has approved a nearly $5 billion settlement with Facebook over user privacy violations. Djokovic over Federer for the Wimbledon title in a five-hour classic. And common mistakes to avoid on Amazon Prime Day. That story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Grainger. Grainger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it at Grainger.com. Barry, the first hurricane of the 2019 season to reach the U.S. coast, largely spared Metro New Orleans as it came in from the Gulf of Mexico on Saturday. By yesterday, the slow-moving system was downgraded to a tropical depression. as it headed north into the Mississippi River Valley. Let's get a live update from Dave Cohen, news director at WWL in New Orleans, one of our affiliates. Dave, how did New Orleans fare overall?
By and large, New Orleans did very well through Barry. In fact, the rainfall estimates were far less that came ashore here in New Orleans, and it really turned out to be more of an exercise in preparedness and making sure everything was working properly than anything else. Now, the heavy rain that Barry brought ashore actually fell more in Mobile, Alabama, Biloxi, Mississippi, where they had flooding going on in both of those communities, parts of the Florida Panhandle, and then western Louisiana saw a whole lot of rain. We did have some issues across south Louisiana with some what they call back levees that overtop, some roads going underwater. There were some high water rescues that happened, but by and large, I think everyone's feeling very fortunate that Barry did not have more severe consequences.
Was there an uh-oh moment when the storm became a Category 1 hurricane briefly at that one point Saturday?
I think that the folks right along the coast where the storm was making landfall would have preferred that it didn't get that strong.
Yeah.
Would have preferred that the winds didn't get over hurricane strength. But when you get down to it, there's not a whole lot of difference between a strong tropical storm and a minimal hurricane. It all just depends. Each one of these tropical landfalling systems tends to have its own personality and do different things. And I think the uncertainty that was so prominent with Barry was what really had people concerned, is that every time forecasters thought it would do one thing, it did something else. And that's what kept everybody on edge. We have some tornado damage today across several portions of Louisiana, and that will be assessed after daylight. There's a whole lot of debris cleanup to do. There are trees down across probably half of South Louisiana. We're talking about 150,000 power outages that have to be dealt with. That is obviously not something that people have enjoyed, but I think if you told us that we'll have some downed trees, we'll have some power outages, we'll have some minor street flooding after this thing passes, most people would say, I'll take that.
Yeah, we're speaking with Dave Cohen, news director at WWL in New Orleans, one of our affiliates. He's with us live this morning. Is there a risk that with these severe warnings, and then you largely avoid disaster, that people become desensitized and then kind of let their guard down for the next storm?
There's no doubt we saw a lot of that. We saw a lot of people expressing anger that there were dire predictions of widespread devastation that did not come to fruition.
Yeah.
I don't think people are angry that there wasn't devastation, but there is a sense and a fear that some people believe there was overhype, that there was predictions made that were not truly accurate, that perhaps some forecasters, media, and others overplayed the danger. And we're hearing some people saying that. Most people, though, who have been reacting, and we've had this discussion on the radio station, lots of people calling in, talking to people on the streets, most people feel like the data was there. The science said that there were possible devastating impacts and that the Hurricane Center, the Weather Service, and the media had a responsibility to tell people what the computer models were saying and what could happen. I think most people are just breathing a sigh of relief rather than angry. But there are some people angry who feel like they were duped or feel like that they were forced to shelter in place for 2 days for no reason.
Man. Lastly here, just give us a feel for the rest of this hurricane season. Any sense based on what we've seen so far since what, I guess, June 1 technically starts the season?
Right. Well, and normally the season in the Gulf Coast is more intense in August and September. That's kind of when we expect to see the most activity here in this region. So having an early storm on the calendar based on that has some people concerned, are we in for a long one? Are we going to see these all season long?
Yeah.
Other people are actually hoping that this means, okay, we got ours out of the way, and hopefully we won't have any more.
Right. Very good. Hey, thanks for sharing a few minutes. Nice talking to you again. That's Dave Cohen, news director at WWL in New Orleans, one of our affiliates, also host of WWL First News Early Edition. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Underwear, socks, shirts, hoodies, sweatpants. Guys, we all have them, right? Of course we do. They're the staples of our wardrobes. How many times have you been in a department store looking at aisles and aisles of underwear and socks? Well, this is not the most invigorating shopping experience, right? You just want to grab and go, but you can't because you're kind of playing a game of roulette as to which ones are going to fit you. That's why they developed Mack Weldon. Mack Weldon is going to give you right now 20% off your first order. Go to MackWeldon.com and enter the promo code Gordon. Welcome to a stress-free, easy shopping experience that will guarantee you the best fit and the most comfortable top drawer apparel you'll ever own. Custom engineered fabric, detailed stitching, even odor eliminating underwear and socks make Mack Weldon the obvious choice. If you don't like your first pair of underwear, keep them. Get a refund. No questions asked. Mack Weldon giving you 20% off right now on your first order. Go to MackWeldon.com right now and enter the promo code Gordon. Thanks for being with us as Walt Disney, Warner Media, and Apple prepare to enter the crowded streaming entertainment market. They're racing to stand out with eye-catching shows that cost as much for a season as a big-budget movie. As Wall Street Journal reporter Eric Schwartzel found out, some newcomers are shelling out $8 to $15 million per episode. Eric, seems like a roll of the dice.
It is a bit of a roll of the dice, but it's one that's pretty essential these days. You know, everyone can tell you how crowded the market is getting and is going to get for streaming entertainment. You've got a ton of new services coming online, and all of the services have made the calculation that they need to launch with a very expensive, big Game of Thrones type epic, big fantasy epics with lots of extras and crazy shooting locations and lots of special effects. They've decided that these shows are really crucial to convincing subscribers to come on board. The issue is these shows are not cheap to make.
You said $8 to $15 million per episode for some of these newcomers? Like, who's doing what here?
That's right. I mean, Apple is spending about $15 million an episode on its new fantasy show. Amazon paid $250 million just for the rights to adapt Lord of the Rings into new TV shows. Disney is approaching $15 million an episode for its new Star Wars show. I mean, $15 million, to put it into perspective, is about as much as it costs to make the horror movie A Quiet Place. It's more than it costs to make the movie Get Out. This is, you know, per episode costs that exceed that of most independent films.
And it's not the way it used to be, where you had to pay actors exorbitant salaries, right? That's not the big driver anymore?
Exactly. I mean, it used to be if you were going to have a show that cost a lot of money, it was because the actors themselves, especially in the later seasons, were commanding crazy salaries, right? Like, the famous example is when the six stars of Friends all negotiated together to get $1 million an episode apiece. That certainly sends costs up, right? But now it's less the talent that is driving the budgets up and more the elements that go into producing big shows like this, right? Like the special effects that are required, the landscapes that are required, the filming locations that are required. And one reason that the studios are spending so much money is because if you think about it, if you're watching Netflix, a lot of the programming is just sort of all blending together, right? You really have to be a pretty savvy user to know what is a movie, what is a TV show, and really what's the difference. And these are big existential questions that the industry is facing right now. But one thing that executives told me is that when you have big theatrical releases literally sitting on the screen next to TV shows, you need the TV shows to look like they're up to par. Otherwise, it'll look like the movies are the A material and the TV shows are the B material.
We're speaking with Eric Schwartzel, Wall Street Journal entertainment reporter. He's written a piece entitled "Coming to a Streaming Service Near You, Shows Costing as Much as Big Budget Movies." And the business model is here that the subscriber fees will cover this, or we'll pay what per episode for some of these things?
God willing. I mean, I think the thing that is the big difference here, right, is that in the broadcast days, it was pretty easy to tell if a TV show was making a profit. You could look at the ads that it was selling against that half hour or that hour. Now it's a lot more intangible because you don't know why exactly people subscribe, right? You can try to figure it out, but you don't know if it's because you're spending so much money on the new Star Wars show.
Thanks, Eric. Wall Street Journal reporter Eric Schwartzel. It is 12 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter, at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well, at Gordon Deal. 9 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, President Trump tweeted that a group of four House progressives, all but one of whom were born in the U.S., came from corrupt and broken countries and should go back to fix what he called the totally broken and crime-infested places from which they came. The president's broadside against the lawmakers, all of whom are minorities, was condemned as racist by Democrats across the spectrum. New York Senator Kirsten Gillibrand.
When he says make America great again, he's saying make America white again. That is literally what he's saying. And you can see it by how he's demeaned and dismissed these new members of Congress.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi called the tweets xenophobic and also said they show that Trump's goal was making America white again. Immigration officials carried out small-scale raids over the weekend, kicking off what President Trump had promised would be a broad effort to round up people in the country illegally. Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents attempted raids in at least two neighborhoods in New York City on Saturday. A spokeswoman for ICE said the agency won't offer specific details related to enforcement operations, but there was no indication the raids were part of the nationwide roundup Trump had told reporters would happen beginning Sunday. Swedish officials say a small plane carrying parachutists crashed in northern Sweden soon after takeoff yesterday, and all nine people on board were killed. Witnesses reported that some of the parachutists were seen trying to jump off the plane just before the crash. The cause of the crash is not yet known. Novak Djokovic became the first man in 71 years to win Wimbledon after facing match points in the final, coming back to beat Roger Federer in an unprecedented fifth set tiebreaker by emerging to win in five sets after nearly five tight tense hours. Djokovic claimed his fifth championship at the All England Club and second in a row.
I'm not really looking at age as a restriction of any kind. For me, at least, what I said on the court, I really meant it. I think, Roger really inspires me with his effort.
Djokovic has now won 16 slams, moving him closer to the only men ahead of him in tennis history, Federer with 20 and Rafa Nadal with 18.
It's interesting because all their ages sort of indicate where they are in grand slams, right? So Federer turns 38.
Right.
Nadal just turned 33. Djokovic, the youngest, at 32.
And so I think he could catch them if he keeps
tired.
Playing. Like, yeah, definitely.
Thanks, Jen. It is 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Glad you're with us. Amazon's Prime Day kicked off earlier today. In recent years, Prime Day has become one of the most anticipated sales events of the year for online shoppers looking for deals and maybe an excuse to splurge. To get the most out of the sales event, CNBC.com has put together a list of some common mistakes to avoid when shopping on Prime Day. Number one, paying $119 for Prime to take part. If you're not a subscriber, sign up for a 30-day free trial. Take advantage of some bargains today, then cancel before the 30-day free trial period is over. Mistake number two, forgetting to update credit card info. If you're trying to score a lightning deal and you have to take time to update your digits, you may miss that bargain. Number three, not planning ahead. Sort through the deals. CNBC says, by downloading the Amazon app and then enabling alerts, then you'll know when a specific item you want goes on sale. And finally, mistake number four, assuming Prime Day has the best prices. Remember, Amazon is not the only retailer offering deals. Walmart's Google Week runs through tomorrow. Target, Macy's, and eBay are also offering mid-July deals. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.